I said, wait. Got it. Okay. So we've got, vroom, we're going to go for it. And I hope all of you got your fast listening ears on. You know, one of the things that we know is that in the coming days, coming times, you know, darkness grows. I mean, Jesus kind of said it was going to, right? Before he comes back, darkness is going to grow. Darkness grows. You know, demons, you know, whatever else is out there. You know, the spiritual world is going to get dark and cloudy and ugly. So why are we doing these sort of classes? See, well, you know, this is all about preparing you right now to get ready for whatever is coming down the pike. You know, we can see things in our world getting worse. I mean, I never grew up being scared to go to school. I mean, y'all have kids and grandkids, you know. I never ever had to worry about that. You can see that the evil is growing. So we're doing these classes so that you can figure out what's going on with you right now so that tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day you will be prepared for whatever's coming down the pike. And so, you know, Tim has taught a lot. We've done a lot on getting sin, you know, out of our life. So I kind of wanted to just pop in here with where we kind of pause last week a little bit. Tim, so we're going to talk about flesh. Now, you know, the Bible uses a lot of words of things that we don't use a lot, like fornication. You know, we don't go around, you know, well, are you having fornication? You know, we don't use those kind of words much anymore, right? We don't ask anybody, they went, did you do a wicked thing or something? So we want to look at this list, and I want you to kind of put it in your life, your friend's life, your co-worker's life, because you know someone who's doing these things. And I want to make sure that you understand what all of it is, okay? The result of sin's control in our life. Where there is sin, there are demons. Remember we heard Frank last week talk about, you know, sin creates this nasty, deathy smell and whatever in us, right? It attracts these vultures. So I want you to begin to think about that. Where there's sin in your life, there are demons. Now, sometimes we have harassment, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It's not necessarily sin, right? Not yet. Okay. These are the flesh things. A small list of flesh things, I should tell you. Small list. This is what he kind of covered. Sexual sin. I'm assuming that you guys are all Christians. You all know no sex before marriage, and the marriage bed shall not be defiled kind of thing. So we're just not going to pause a lot on here because I feel you guys all know those things. Impure acts. That doesn't necessarily mean in that whole sexual realm. Impure acts. What would you guys think of as an impure act? Stealing. Would, I don't know, like keying somebody's car, or maybe back in those days they keyed their saddle, I don't know, chariot, keyed their chariot, you know? Oh, maybe they didn't even have saddles, but I don't know. Steal their saddle bag there. That would be an impure act for sure. That'd be a going after you. Okay, wild living. Now, you got to think about biblical times. They ain't got nothing on wild living like we got. Of course, maybe Sodom and Gomorrah. You know?
Corinthians.
They were pretty nasty, weren't they? But what would we consider as wild living? What would we consider as wild living?
Doing drugs and stuff.
Drugs, yeah. Gambling. Irresponsibility, right? Those kind of things, right? Wild living. Including worshiping statues of God and worshiping evil powers. So, I don't think anybody in here, I'm just going on the assumption that you guys are all saved, born again Christians. That's how I'm going to teach this class. And if you ain't, see Pastor Jimmy. He's got the answers, or Pastor John, they got answers. So when we're talking, though, about, back then, they had, like real idol worship. You know, they had the little wooden statue or the big wooden statue if you had a lot of money, right? So they're talking about what would we say worshiping statues of gods? What would be that?
Idolatry.
Money. Anything?
Worshiping football.
Football? Golf? Fishing? Romance novels?
Computer games.
Big one. Cell phones. They even have a new diagnosis coming out for Facebook addiction. In the new DSM, I guess it's going to be like 6. Facebook addiction, media addiction, social depression. I mean, this is, you're like, seriously? But this is what we're dealing with. This is what's coming up. So when you talk about, you know, because you think, oh, well, I'm not doing that. Maybe you need to think about it a little bit. Maybe you are. Maybe you are doing that. Okay, worshiping evil powers. I know. How many of you have heard, don't step on a crack because you'll break your mother's back? You, I used to lift my feet over the railroad track so you wouldn't lose your boyfriend. How many of you have knocked on wood? Do you know how hard it was for me to break that habit? After I got older and more mature, I decided that was stupid. So, how many of you have thrown salt over your shoulder? I don't even know exactly what that's supposed to do, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, we just have grown up with these sort of things, right? We don't know where or the stemming of where that came from, but I know, I'm pretty sure knocking on wood is not Jesus. I'm sure maybe that probably came from, you know, knocking on your wooden addle. Hey, you in there? I don't know. It also includes hatred and fighting. There's only one thing that we're supposed to hate, which is?
Evil.
Evil. Awesome. You guys are so smart. Even if you hate the opposite political poll that you're at, not supposed to. Not supposed to. And fighting. Now then, this is evil. Fighting. I
What about competitive fighting? Like UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys want to go there, do you?
I'm very asking for a friend.
Yeah, you know, I think some of that can really borderline, because you've got blood spilt most of the time. Wrestling, you know, usually is not blood, but when you start involving blood spilling, that can remind me. I'll tell you about that when we get to the occult section. Okay, that you're talking a different kind of level, so I think it can be. Jealousy and fits of anger. You know, jealousy, that's one of the reasons why we pulled out of the 60s, is because the hippies, which was not me, I was too young. The hippies, I grew up with some hippies, but, you know, I'm a 70s child. Late, you know, more 70s, yeah, you. And Steve over there, too. The hippies started pulling out of that late 70s, early 80s, because they figured out, I like Bob's new boat. I want one. I like this. So the hippies cut their hair and put on suits and decided they like money better. So here we go. Fits of anger. I'm quite sure nobody in here has thrown a fit of anger ever. Maybe when you were 2. And your toy got taken away. Just saying. Fits of anger. And that includes driving in the car and cussing somebody out that doesn't even know or hear you or see you. That's a fit of anger. Just saying. Sinful desire is interested only in getting ahead. Only in getting ahead. climbing the ladder, because we usually like to, you know, we don't take care of other people. We don't lift, as the word says, lifting each other up with songs and thanksgiving and being excited that somebody else's gift. If you are secure enough in God and who you are and your destiny and the giftings that you have in your life, it will not matter that somebody else gets promoted into something. You pray and you war, not against flesh and blood. And you open the doors that are meant to be open in your destiny. Doesn't matter if somebody gets there first. God is in control of your life, period. It stirs up trouble. I think that's pretty much known. It separates people into their own groups. Yep. Do you think churches could actually have groups? Separates. How many of you have felt you've been in the clique or out of the clique? We've all had both, right? Been in the clique and out of the clique. Clique, same gangs, ain't supposed to be here. Okay, it wants what others have. It's pretty easy. It gets drunk and takes part in wild parties. It does many things of that kind. Many things. So there's a lot of things on here that, you know, Paul didn't cover. But we have to remember, I warn you now, as I did before, people who live like this will not see the kingdom of God. It's not, well, maybe they'll get close. God is not usually gray, is black and white with him. You will not see the kingdom of God. So y'all take that and run. So the next thing that we're going to talk about after thinking about it, I just want y'all to get in touch with your flesh. Just in case, you know, because you're coming to church and you're going to feel holy. And, you know, this is where we get cleansed and we get rid of all this stuff. Okay, how demons come in. Family background in the occult or false religion. Pretty sure that's pretty clear. Christians raise Christian children. Satanists raise Satanist children. Hindus raise Hindus children. And Buddhists raise Buddhist children. Clear. Mormonism, it's really hard. You know, Sherry Smith used to talk about that a lot and what it took for her to break out of that. She went down to that many. Holland. I've done that all the time. That's because they're both so holy. I say that all the time. I used to switch their names all the time. I'd call one and meant to call the other one. It was scary. You just make sure, stand up for yourself, Sherry. Many of these other wild things, right? Okay. Other negative prenatal influences, like a pregnancy outside of marriage, when they're talking prenatal. Now, the occultist people, as soon as you're pregnant, they will start laying hands on that baby, and they will start praying yucky things, okay? Say there's a trauma pregnancy, maybe there's a rejection going on. You know, how do you think generational things get passed? So these are some of the things that he included. Pressures in early childhood. Divorce. A parent that's absent. An addiction. I mean, somebody in jail. I mean, we could go to that list forever. Emotional shock or sustained emotional pressure. How about a parent that takes their child and uses that child to meet their emotional needs? That's tough. That mom that's lonely uses her child to meet her emotional thing. It could be being in a car wreck, you know, and that fear starts. There's a bazillion things like this. Doesn't mean every single time demons come in, but sinful acts or habits. Do we know what kind of sinful acts? Think about habits. Can a habit actually have a demon connected to it? Smoking. Can that habit create a demon with it? What kind of other habits? And then you're thinking of, and everybody's thinking there, what habit do I have? What habit do I have? How about a habit of how you have to say prayer? How about that? How about a habit that it has to be done at this time and this way? Like that. How about that? Can it? As Christians, we can get ourselves tied in a knot. Okay, laying on of hands. We know that the word says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Right? Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Why? Transfer spirits, right? So when we're in church, and Tim does this a lot, whoever has, an earache, stand up. And those around you pray for you, right? So what do you do? What do you do about that? What do you know? Sometimes you know the person, sometimes you don't know the person.
Pray first before you lay hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't lay hands on someone that you're not told.
That's right. So part of it is us making sure I'm in the right place to lay hands on somebody, right? I just didn't come out of a drunken brawl at a wrestling match, right? Doing wild and crazy things at the party. Let me lay hands on you. So it's your responsibility. Just because he says stand up, if you're not in the right place, keep your hands to yourself. I mean, how many times have we been told that from our back? Keep your hands to yourself, because I laid hands on my brother a lot, man. And there are sometimes a spirit of slap wants to come on me really bad. On certain things, certain people, certain stuff. That's not a good time for me to lay hands. So the other part of you, so if you're on the receiving end, we all want prayer, right? So I usually just say, Lord Jesus, everything that's you can come in. Anything that's not, let it go. Let it go. So, like, if we're going up to Tony to get prayer, well, I'm trusting Pastor Tim has put Pastor Tony in the right place at the right time, and I don't worry about that, right? So you just, it's not scary, spooky, you know what to do. Y'all are going to like this one. Idle words. We're going to be judged. For every idle word. Right?
Does that mean useless?
Well.
Like sarcasm?
We are fixing to find out here in the sea, right? I don't know that jokes, sarcasm, all that. I don't know that that's. If we don't laugh every once in a while, who wants to be us? I mean, really. Yeah, so, I'm not sure that it's always that way. But what if it's gossip? Oh, did you hear? And I feel so sorry for them. It feels so bad. But did you hear so-and-so and this and that and something else is happening? What if it's that? I've always said, and in my counseling sessions, I've said this a billion times, anger will make you say things you don't want to say and do things you don't want to do and eat crow about it later. I had to really start working on my anger in my mouth because I got sick and tired of eating crow. So, this is pretty clear. An evil man is ensnared by transgressions of his lips. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. And the one who opens it wide. La, la, la. Now, for some of you who are external processors, it doesn't mean that you're walking around sinning. God made you an external processor. You just have to process it in the right direction. Right? It's just like an internal processor is not holy because they have less words. Because, well, listen, your internal dialogue is heard too, and it can be not nice. So, if you are externally processing something that is not nice, it's just as bad as the internal processor processing some. No, you guys act like it. How many of you have gone over and over the argument in your head? Well, I should have, and I could have, and you know, they're just not. So we can get into that cycle, and that cycle can bring forth that wonderful smell that demons love. You know? So I threw in a few more just in case you guys didn't have enough to think about. And these are a lot more general. I think these are probably more along the lines of some of the things we deal with. Refusing to obey the Lord is as sinful as using evil magic. We've heard it, not quite it. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. But, refusing to obey the Lord. Now, I don't know. I can probably think of at least one time that maybe I didn't obey the Lord. How many times did Jesus tell you to give a word and you didn't? I'd rather not talk about those kinds. How about Jesus telling you not to do something and you did? So, rebellion is a doorway, period. And you will be harassed. Being proud, we know that pride, worshiping the statues, we've talked about that. You have refused to do what the Lord has told you to do. So, he's refused to have you as king. Versus Samuel, he's talking to Saul, right? So maybe I'm not going to be king, but he's refusing, basically, that would keep me from moving forward. That's what Samuel's saying. You ain't going forward. You ain't going forward. Okay. This is another one. For the mindset on the flesh is death. Carnal, you can say carnal. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind is set on the flesh, it is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law. For it is not even able to do so. And if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. I don't know if y'all know, but my flesh wants what my flesh wants when it wants it. And it can get very loud about it. Sometimes you have to talk to it. Stop it. Get under the Holy Spirit. Get back in line. Get to where you're supposed to be. That's what we're told to do, right? We're going to learn a little bit of how to start dealing with your flesh. And it ain't easy. And as soon as you get one lick, there's going to be something else. What do demons like to work with most? Your flesh? Your mind? They're screwing with you. They just are. They are messing with you. And you don't pay attention. Guess what's going to happen? How did I get all the way over here? And sometimes when Jesus is, and I've noticed this over and over, not just in my own life, but sometimes when Jesus is really dealing with something in your life, it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. It is going to get worse. Because you're not waking up, you're not paying attention, you're not seeing it, so it's going to get worse. He's going to allow that demon to harass you more because he loves you so much, he wants you free. So, how do we know and what we're, I mean, we walk around in this 24/7. The word says that Jesus came in sinful flesh. I mean, it's not like I can go get a weekly peel of it. Believe me, if you could, I wouldn't tell you. So, the flesh in harassment. as Christians, say you've gotten rid of all your big demons or whatever, you know, you're not, because we get harassed. If you think that you're going to go through a day without harassment, well, you're just being stupid. And I don't know how they plan these things when I am minding my own business. And suddenly, there's harassment. Now then, you women, I know, get harassed a lot about how you look and how you don't look. And there's a mirror in your bathroom when you get up in the morning. Guess who's sitting there waiting? Just a-waiting. Just a-waiting for you to take a look and see. Oh my gosh, I've gotten older. Oh my gosh, there's another gray hair. Oh, and it goes... And how do you walk out feeling about yourself? Me, Tarzan. No. You walk out feeling this big, starting your day this big, because you've done beat yourself up, but no help. So if you think that you're standing there and you're just talking to yourself all by yourself all the time, well, you got nothing coming. Anytime you start talking about yourself that way, you got help. And I'm like, don't you demons have something else to go do? And, you know, one day I was trying to put in my contacts and wasn't thinking anything. I'm just trying to see my eyeball to put my contacts in. And here comes this voice, this critical voice. I was like, you think we're going to start this right now? I mean, I had not hardly even been up. And boom, that demon left. Like, I'm fixing to chew you up. So let me get this other eye in, and I'm going to chew you. That demon just left. Thank God. The more you do this, the more you will begin to recognize harassment in your life. And you've got to shut them up. If you are in your car and you find that you go down a habitual pattern of thinking, you got help. You got a demon. Who's helping you? Oh, look, they're getting their car. Hurry. They know. I mean, what else? They're hanging out for eternity. What else they got to do? I don't know how many of them there are. I don't know. There's enough to harass me. So, and I am assuming that I'm just like all of y'all, that you guys get harassed too. If you are thinking the same thing every time you go into that office, every time you go into that work, every time you go over to Bubba's house, and you're thinking the same thing, you have that pattern habit of thought, you've got to start breaking it. Or this demon doesn't have it, enjoys harassing you. Now this harassment I'm talking about is from the outside. It's from the outside in. That's what he's got is in. From the outside. You can, it's not like you hear it with this ear. You hear it with your inside ears and your inside eyes. When Jesus prayed, Lord, let their eyes see, let their ears hear, their heart may understand. He ain't talking to deaf and blind people. What is he talking about? He's talking about your inside ears and your inside eyes. And your heart to understand what's going on. So let's say like, this is something that probably nobody has anything to do with. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So, how many of you have ever felt fear? Was a demon attached to it? Now, if I'm going to bungee jump, I'm going to have some fear. Do I have a demon that's helping me? Maybe not, because I can do it all by myself. That's why I ain't ever bungee jumping. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to be afraid. But that's not what Jesus is talking about, is he? It's very, very clear. I've not given you a spirit. If you think there's just one, you're crazy. A spirit of fear. Now then, in the psychological world, we have lots of diagnoses for this. But sometimes, each and every one of you wouldn't have a diagnosis. You have felt that fear. You have felt him. You have felt him push against you. when God is telling you to do something. You have felt Him, and you had to make a choice. If you made the wrong choice, He's hanging out. He's got a little hook in you. The next time, He has two little hooks. And every time, that fear gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it doesn't have anything to do with bungee jumping. Because you should be fearful enough not to do that. I mean, that just seems ridiculous. Some people can do some things and it's the fear is a thrill to them. And that's okay. It's just not to me. Just not to me. So that's not the spirit of fear that we're talking about here for y'all. So don't go running out doing things you're afraid of. Just do what God has asked you to do and push against the spirit of fear, and your love, the love that He has for you, will cast it out, because you won't be afraid, because of no matter what, that whole Indiana Jones, you're stepping out, I always remember that, you know, He's got to step out on that log. And it does not appear until He puts His foot there. That's Jesus. You know, it irritates me, but that's Him. That's how He does it. Okay. Now that you guys got all your stuff, you got this kind of idea going along in your head. There is no fear in love. Now we're going to deal with some of these other things, because y'all think this has absolutely nothing to do with you, right? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Now let's just see. There should not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. We all know about Baal, Moloch, goddess Diana, you know, all those things in the Old Testament, right? They used to sacrifice their children. That's pass through the fire, sacrifice. So I'm going on the assumption no one's doing that in here. I'm going on that assumption.
If you are, stop.
If you do, talk to John and talk to Jimmy. Yeah, if you are, stop. One who practices witchcraft. Now, I did not like it when Tim did this, but Tim did talk about this whole thing about witchcraft one time, a whole sermon. And witchcraft is really, if you want to think about, manipulation. So that's a whole other thing. He can talk about that one. And one who interprets omens, or sorcerer, or one who casts spells, medium, spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. I'm just going to assume no one's calling up the dead. Whoever does these things is detestable before the Lord. That is not hard to understand. So let's see if any of us have ever done that. Anybody had that done? I was a 70s child. My boyfriend's mama used to do it all the time to me. I grew up Methodist. Who cared? It's fun. I have no clue what she said. She didn't say I was marrying her son, that's for sure, either. That did not happen. I can't even remember. Somehow I had a deck of tarot cards, and we were going to get married. Daryl found, you've got to get rid of these things. Okay. I don't know. So y'all don't act like, you know, you ain't never heard nothing like that. Well, just tell all my secrets. Oh, this line means you got a long life. Unless I cut off the destiny that God has planned for me. Oops, I didn't say that one. Right? Had this one happen to me one time in Hawaii. This lady came and started talking to me. And this is, see, my dad was still alive, probably 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And somehow or another, she was from Louisiana. And she was, and you know. Okay, so I'm a little suspicious of everybody. And she's talking to me, and she felt like, I guess she had this thing, and I'm just looking at her like, what are you up to? And she said, would you like me to read your aura? No. As soon as I said no, boy, boom, she cut down and turned around and walked off. I thought, Jesus, what was that? Okay, probably none of you have done a downward dog ever. How about the warrior stance? Yeah. So, yeah.
Is any of the stuff, kind of like the people you hear saying, like, you know, good vibes only kind of people.
Yeah. Oh, you got blue and greens around you.
Good vibes only, bro.
Yeah, good vibes. I don't know. I probably got some black in my aura somewhere. I don't know. You know, the yoga came out of, you know, worshiping gods and stuff. Now, you go in and you're going to do Pilates class. You're going to do some of the same exercises. Now, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that transcendental meditation. Emptying your mind and allowing, I don't know, the good vibes only coming in thing. Okay. Now, I've never had a crystal ball, but I'm not the only one in the room, so I'm sure. I don't even know what they're supposed to do, actually. I just see them on TV. How many of you have one of these? Yeah, see? Yeah. I did. And we would sit there and, ooh. It was so scary, me and my friends. So how many of you had the magic 8-ball? It only had like 7 things or 6 things in there that you could do anyway, so. But it was cool every time. Magic 8-ball. Turn it over, right? Don't act like none of you ever had any of these. Huh. How many of you read your horoscope? Yeah, you used to. Don't say you didn't. How many of you read your fortune cookie?
I don't read those. I do eat them, though. Judge the word.
Yeah, judge the word. That's right. It came from some machine somewhere. Those magic numbers on them, you know, they were something. How about ESP? I know in the 70s, you know, ESP was really big, The Sixth Sense, not the movie, you know.
That's a great movie.
Figuring out what it is. Now, extrasensory perception, we would call it maybe the spirit of discernment.
I was going to say like astral
projection. Yeah, it's paranormal and stuff. I could let some of the older people talk about it. Oh, that's right, I forgot your Baptist. All right, how many Aries do we have in here? Aries. Oh, don't act like y'all don't know what you are. Oh, how many Aries? See, you got to do the 10 thing. See, don't act like you don't know what you are. You're a Taurus. You're a, was it Scorpion, Leo? See, don't act like you don't know what this stuff is.
I'm a Leo.
You guys act like you had nothing to do with the occult. Absolutely nothing. And look at you. Look at you. Now, how many of you have been? Now, we have several of these here in town, too. Lucy, you like that, how it turned around, twisty? Now, my mom used to go see a psychic in the 70s, I remember. She always wanted to bring me, I never did. I was probably a teenager and obnoxious and rebellious. But I don't even remember what this lady said, but I know my mom has went several times. Now, she probably wouldn't do that now, but in the 70s, all that spiritualism thing all took off, probably from the late 60s and the drugs that they had LSD experiences with. So, you know, you have all these things, but you think that you have absolutely nothing to do with the occult. I mean, I did. Okay, so I haven't sacrificed anything. Right? I didn't, like, bow down. Well, I did, you know, I do put Christmas and presents on my Christmas tree, but, you know, does that really count as an idol? So, I mean, you can get yourself tied up into a knot over some of these things, but you have to just understand some of the originality and where you are with Jesus. It's like, I can't go see a scary, violent movie. It messed me up for days. There are some people that can go see those things, but not me. That's just who I am. It doesn't mean that I'm better or I'm holier or I'm just different. John can go see that kind of stuff and it doesn't bother him at all. And he comes back with all these sarcastic, wonderful things to say. And I just can't do it. See, I just can't. But that doesn't mean that I'm better or that you're worse or that you're anything. Some of you guys can watch the wrestling stuff. I can't do it. It bothers me. So I can't do it. But, you know, it says a little gold dust that falls off of me everywhere I go. I'm not that holy. 1 Corinthians, think about the people of Israel. Okay, so right here, Paul is talking to the Corinthians because they were doing bad stuff, right? So they still have people that are worshiping idols and they're sacrificing, you know, whatever they sacrificed from food, meat, whatever. And so the Corinthian Christians were eating of this idol food. So what he is talking about here, do I mean that food sacrificed to a statue of God is anything? So it's not the food, right? In and of itself. Do I mean that the statue of a God is anything? No, it's wooden, duh, right? So he's saying no, it's not in those things. But what is it in? But what is sacrificed by those who worship statues of God is really sacrificed to demons. It's demons. It is not sacrificed to God. I don't want you to be sharing with demons. It's not the pear. It's what the pear represents. It's what is happening or they are summing up the demonic. Why do Satanists go in the woods and start a fire? And you know, the pentagram was originally used by Christians to trap evil powers. So y'all would all want to stone me and come over here and I'm going to draw a big old pentagram over here to trap those evil powers. Because now, right, Satanists use it to trap the evil powers. Duh. That's why they're doing some of the things they're doing. So when they are worshiping these idols, Paul is not talking about the statue in of itself or the food in of itself. He's talking about the worshiping and that it invites demons. So you go in there and you lay down with a little Ouija board thing, you're inviting demons. You are having a shared table with demons. So, and then he's comparing it. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You can't play both sides of the fence. There's a lot of Christians that do. They play both sides of the fence. So you can't. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You can't have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't go to your astrology tarot card reader and go to church and worship Jesus. One cancels out the other. So you can't believe in both things and still walk in the Lord's way. You are sharing with demons. Is there a demon involved? Yes. Yes. And as we all know, a cult is not just Satanism out in the woods. I had a cult in my house. I don't know. I had the magic eight ball too somewhere. I don't know. Are we trying to make the Lord jealous? Because he does say he is a jealous God. Are we stronger than he is? Who do you think that he is? Are we stronger than the Lord to resist these things? Or are we stronger than demons? What, when you're partaking, right? So it kind of makes you stop and think about, can I read my horoscope, believe in that, and believe in the destiny that God has spoken over me? Because my guess is the two will parallel just enough to send you that way. Nobody should have any golden thread that they's following. If you are following a golden thread, stop it. Stop it. That's demons. Demons, demons, demons. The only time you go out of your body is when Jesus comes and gets you. Because he will do that. Because he, you know, did it to Paul. Outside of that, stop it. You should not. Your body is your shield. Your body is your boundary. Do not go outside of it. Unless Jesus has got you by the hand and you know it's the true Jesus, do not do it. Okay. I don't know. I can't make that any clearer. Do not give the devil an opportunity. If you have that little inkling in the back of your head that goes like that, and it's something that kind of makes you wiggly, stop. Pay attention to it. Look at it. You're fixing to do something that the Holy Spirit is wiggling on you. The Holy Spirit is doing this to you. And if you ignore the Holy Spirit doing this to you, then you're walking in rebellion. Okay, so how do we close the doors? You know, do not get yourself tied up into a knot here. All of these things, every single one of them, you do not have to do a bunch of special stuff, all right? Now, if a demon has a much deeper hold on you, you may have to. You may have to go get some help and get some prayer. But, you know, you're going to know when you start fighting this thing, you're going to know which one you are. But it's really easy. That's what you have to do. That's all you have to do. Jesus doesn't take someone out of the occult or out of New Age and strip them down naked, you know? He doesn't do that. He takes you one step at a time. One step at a time. He doesn't say, okay, these are all the things, everything you know, you've done wrong. He has enough grace that he lets a person deal with this side of demons, and then this side of demons, and then this side of demons. I mean, think about your walk. You've dealt with this and this and this and this, and hopefully as you've grown in the things of the God, you have learned not to do those things, because that was bad, so that you can get free, and you're walking in a place that is now full of freedom, so that you can recognize. If you begin to exercise these gifts, you're going to know when Satan is eating your lunch. Just like putting in those contacts. I knew that I knew I knew. It wasn't me. Here it comes. Oh, seriously. I didn't say anything like, get the heck out of here or whatever. I didn't say any of that. I just said, oh, you're going to do this now? Really? And he knew, already knew, he was going to hurt. He was going to hurt. So I didn't really have to fight. But I recognized the voice that fast. Doesn't mean I always do. I mean, that was a, yay, Jesus. So, the more you repent, Jesus, I'm sorry, I should never have done that Ouija board. I didn't know. Please forgive me. Now, I did the Ouija board. Could I get a demon from the Ouija board? No. Can you do the Ouija board and get a demon? Yes. Different strokes, different folks, different spiritual dynamics, different generational. You got to know. You got to know. Did I get something from the tarot cards? No, I didn't. I don't know why. I just didn't. But I've known a lot of people who have. I know people who have. You know, I dressed up as a gypsy forever going out on Halloween. Did I get a demon? No. I got lots of candy. That was a good days. That was before people started being weird. But I didn't. Were there people that went out and did Halloween and got a demon? Yeah, they did. I don't know. I picked up demons in other ways. So you have to know what's okay for you. What is okay for you? If I go see one of those scary violent movies, I'm going to be tormented and I'm going to be harassed by demons like nobody's business. It didn't bother John. That I gotta know me. I gotta do me. You do you, I do me, and we will walk in freedom. Right? We'll walk in freedom. Ephesians 4:7. But each one of us has received a gift of grace. These gifts are given to us by Christ.
Isn't it wise to not tempt yourself?
If you know it's a tempting for you, do not do it.
Well, but you don't know whether it is or not.
I think you have that little Holy Spirit inside of you that goes wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And we often, you know, or I call it the scratchy feeling, we often ignore that. Yeah?
Well, I also went through everything, but I look back, and those are like entry levels,
mm-hmm.
you know, entry doors, and it actually, well, nothing really happened, so I can go to the next and nothing really happened. And actually, it was sort of the breadcrumb journey, you know, basically,
Campaign.
That would put hope where you would get it.
Yeah,
so those are
absolutely.
Points. And whether I got anything or not. And then I realized that some was even, you know, looking even further back, it was bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Things that happened in the bloodline that actually, you know, drew me there because they were in it. So
yeah.
Things that you do, whether you don't think that you're getting caught, it actually affects generations mm-hmm. ahead of you.
Yeah, and that's why as soon as you find out about it, I mean, I repented of all those things. You know,
yeah.
Natasha's book is really good for
yeah.
all that stuff. Repented for all those things and moved on. But, like, where one person can take Harry Potter and the next one, you know, over in Europe, when the Harry Potters came out, teenagers and adult witchcraft tripled over there because of those movies. Did it do it?
They actually opened up, the Pagan Federation actually opened up a, because in paganism you can't be a pagan unless you're over the age of 18, but because they had an interest in it, they actually opened up a hotline for younger people where they could just talk to them about it. Because
oh, how sweet of them.
There was an interest in it, yeah.
So it's one of those breadcrumb things, and maybe when I didn't get totally... because I didn't follow the breadcrumb. I wasn't interested enough to follow any kind of breadcrumb, so I didn't. Yeah, Paige.
I went to LSU and just went through the sorority system. And,
oh, yeah.
And then went in and, you know, I mean, I didn't, I was just part of it, but we had to get initiated.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a sorority that we...
Sororities, yeah.
Our grades up, so...
Sort of, yeah.
But then we got initiated and you had to... pretend like you're being dead, you're dying, and then being raised, and all this weird stuff. Well, I didn't know any of that was anything. But 25 years later, I had a dream where he gave me, you know, understanding. I had to seek
mm-hmm.
out what did the dream mean, but he gave me understanding that I needed to repent for that mm-hmm. whole thing.
Because most of the sororities are based in Greek mythology. That's why. So, you know, we do things and we don't know. We praise God for the grace that he gives us. Because otherwise, we would be swamped. We wouldn't even be Christian. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. That breadcrumb thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta know when, right? I mean, Dungeons and Dragons are not in my time and for my kids' time, but that was, I'm told, really bad.
Freemason,
that's generational bleh. Yeah, and most everybody in their 50s was part of Masonic somewhere. I mean, I was blessed that my dad got to like the third thing. He said, this is stupid. So he quit. He didn't want to play the boys' game. But, you know, we've had to go through Freemasonry prayers and stuff. But, yeah.
I had a question about people, maybe like seeking a prophetic word, like, and people almost kind of like prostituting like the gift of the prophetic, like maybe taking phone calls like constantly.
Well, I tell you what. Y'all give me $1,000 and I will prophesy for you, I promise. I promise. I can't say which side of the fence it's going to come on, but I promise I will do it for you. Only for a mere $1,000, right? You can.
A lot of times that's like a function of the flesh or the soul, and it can cross over to demonic. I think there's sometimes where we do that, like unwittingly. We teach that in our prophetic classes. We talk about soulish prophecy, which is can get influenced by demons if you do it enough, because what happens is with idolatry, you start focusing on the fact that you're the person who gives the word of the Lord. And so when you start getting focused on that, it starts to turn into that.
I can't repeat it. It was that too profound. But I was just saying that the aspect of like what we call soulish prophecy, it like witchcraft, it starts off in the flesh where maybe you don't have anything from the Lord. So instead of being honest and saying, you know, I really don't have a read either way, you go, well, let me just make something up. Mm-hmm. Or another dynamic that can happen is, let's say, you want to have a Bugatti, okay? So if I can sit there and hear your soul saying Bugatti, and I just say a Bugatti is coming to you, and you're like, yes, that's the word of the Lord, when really I'm not giving you something prophetic, I'm just talking to the idol that's in your heart.
And I've had an experience when we had, you know, people here where I've had to, you know, you were on prayer teams and people coming in. We had this one lady, me and Walter did. I'd never experienced this before. And she came in and she says, I want you to pray like that, And I'm stressed. Okay.
You just tell them $5
extra. That's what I need to do. But she, and I learned a big thing, because when she came in and then she started pulling and I could feel me needing to say something, and I just started saying stuff that wasn't, like, it didn't feel right, wasn't hitting anything, it was pulling on my soul, you know, and then she just stopped both Walter and I in the middle and said, no, that's not it at all. It's like, whoa, I don't know what, but it was a great experience for me. I needed to learn what that was like. I needed to sense that and feel that and not feel that pressure, you know, the one that's, you know, learning how to do all this. You know, I needed to know that, and that is not, it's not, you know, I've had people come up before and I'm like, really? Well, I'll be praying about that for you and move on. I know that feeling, so I don't regret that experience. But because I want people to be healed and set free so much, I'm not willing to cross. I do everything I can not to cross into my soul to give you something, because my soul ain't got nothing. It's going to be broken chips, I can just tell you. So I do everything I can and what I know to do to not cross over myself in that way. And none of us are 100% perfect. We will accidentally pull something right out of your butt. Here you go. And it's not true. And I have to begin to recognize when I'm feeling that. And then recognize, okay, what's going on in my soul that's happening? So, I mean, and I've had words people give me that are like, okay, that's weird. That's really weird. And, you know, and then sometimes I say, well, I just cast that down as dead seed. I try not to get tied up into it. I just cast it down as dead seed to the ground. Let the ravens come get it, Jesus. Don't pick it up. If it doesn't really fit inside, don't pick it up. Jesus is going to talk to you and use words and say things that are going to be meaningful just to you. I used to try to keep up with this friend so she could write pages of stuff from the Lord. I did good to get out of paragraph, man. I feel, I could not keep up with that. Couldn't do it, because that's not me. Don't talk, Jesus knows, don't give me a page of stuff. I want some bullets here, because I ain't remembering. He knows that. He doesn't give me this long dissertation stuff. That's it. What can I say? We're all different, right? He speaks to us the way we can hear him. The way we can hear him, because he loves us that much. So, you want to come say a prayer for us? Put it on the table.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. We ask that you be with us and help us to apply this to our lives, to help us to understand the demonic side and to have control over it with your help, Father. We give all the glory to you in your name. Amen.
Amen. John,
you want to turn this off? Wait, you see that light just set it down? You probably just turned it off over here.
They don't look anything like Kenny would ever wear.
I would wear that food over here.
Give me your dog.